Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
Bang! What is up, everybody? Corey Vincent in the building. Video game bang, back and better than ever. Because we have Emma Skies on the show. What's up, Emma?
Hello.
Oh, Emma, are you just basking in the what is it? The tears of
angry men,
angry gamer
yes.
boys.
Yes, I wow. am. We'll yeah, get, no, I made a lot of people mad today. It's
we'll
been
get,
great.
Yeah, what else is new? We'll get to that one in very quickly. But first, we got to announce our special guest on the show. Her second appearance. I believe the first one I vaguely remember because I was very drunk at the Christmas party yes. this year. Katie Plays.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm happy to be here. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank Good. You for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, you know, of course we had to. You are a very active member in the Shock local yes. fan base. How you been feeling so far about the Overwatch League?
Oh, I mean, great. I mean, we won the first game, so... And we're going to win the second one and also the third one and probably the fourth one.
If we ever get to play them.
Yeah, if we ever get to play them. What is it? In like 2.5 weeks from now? 3 weeks?
It was the biggest like momentum killer.
Yeah, it really was. After the first game, I was all excited and all hyped. I still am, but now I'm just kind of like, I'm ready. I was watching the games this last weekend and while they're just as entertaining, it's like, it's not the same,
no.
you know?
Yeah, I watch them too, just to stay up on top of everything, but it's just not the same. Coronavirus is just throwing a wrench in everything.
Yeah.
We got a lot to go over, but let's start with this Emma Skies controversy. I wake up this morning, 8 a.m., bright and early. You know, that's that esports life. You got to be up early. And I check my Twitter, number one post of like, oh, in case you missed it, I see Emma Skye's name. It's a brick of text. She quote tweeted Ninja. So
I did not quote team. I very specifically did not quote team.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you?
I screenshotted it.
Oh, okay.
And posted it as a photo.
Oh, so you can get all. So he doesn't get any of the clout.
Right. So I'm not reposting his thing.
Yeah. Ninja, because he needs the clout. Ninja really needs that clout. You denied him. You
it's
said
mostly
nay.
Supposed to be so that people from that tweet don't find me as easy. But clearly that didn't work.
No, it didn't work. Then wait, how did it explode then?
I have no idea. It was 4 a.m.
This was a 4 a.m. tweet from Emma. So you know it was well thought out and
oh,
good.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I was awake and I was wide awake, actually. But
do you mind reading Ninja's original tweet that upset right. you so?
Take a breath. It's okay.
This is just, like, the thing is, I've been arguing about this all day, so I'm just like, great.
Well, you know what? It's crazy because we always joke we'd have, like, for some reason, this guy has a great job of keeping himself in the news because
yes.
every week it felt like we were talking about him doing or saying something, and, you know, you aren't Ninja's biggest fan to start out with.
I don't really care.
Okay, you say that, but, okay. Yeah, Emma, you
but
don't
yeah,
care.
So he said he tweets out and he says, the phrase "it's just a game" is such a weak mindset. You are okay with what happened. Losing, imperfection of a craft. When you stop getting angry after losing, you've lost twice. There's always something to learn and always room for improvement. Never settle.
So and what's wrong with that?
So the end sentiment is okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
The way he starts it is real bad.
It's not the best.
It's real bad. So
how? What part upsets you? Let's break it down. The phrase, it's just a game, is such a weak mindset. That sounds right.
No, it's not. Because that's how you teach. Yeah, the thing to remember here is that Ninja specifically markets himself to children. That is the important factor here. He markets himself for children. He has children watching him all the time. He is a, for better or for worse, he's a role model for children. That is the important factor. And it's not that that's okay. something that happened by accident. He cultivated that. He created that as his image. So in almost every case, I am absolutely of the mindset that your kids are not my responsibility online. My content does not need to be made for them. It is your job to... But to, you know, to
watch your kids.
Watch your kids. However, you have a brand that you have specifically cultivated for children, that changes, and you have an obligation to, you know, kind of say things in a way that are made for kids, or watch your, not even watch your words, but choose your words carefully.
I don't know how he's marketed himself towards kids, though. He has
a brand deal with Nerf. Yeah. He has a Kids' Choice Award nomination, which does not just happen. Like, you push for that. He plays the most popular game among children.
Yeah.
He specifically talks about how he started swearing less for kids and their parents. Like, his whole brand is based on being for kids. And that's what's made him very, very successful, because he has a large range of an audience to appeal to. And it's worked very well for him.
Yeah, I know he's been clean. I never really thought about the kid angle, but when you say, yeah, he does have...
Like, he specifically said that he stopped swearing for kids and their parents. Like, he said that in an interview.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, he markets himself to kids. So, if it was, like, a, you know, not super internet famous person, or not somebody that was, or somebody that marketed themselves as a more, like, edgy adult, you know, whatever, that's one thing.
I'm splitting hairs here, I'm sure, but like the whole YouTube, Twitch generation of like that mass audience, like Jake Paul is for kids, to be honest. Like, he's a terrible human being.
Yeah, he's fucking awful.
But he markets his stuff to kids. Yeah. He uses languages and triggers to get kids. So he's like a kid's
entertainer,
too.
Absolutely. And he's also, well, not also, because I wouldn't necessarily class him and Ninja in the same thing, but Jake Paul's a terrible person.
He's very much a terrible person. But okay, so I see what you're saying. So he's for kids, and...
So when you take a phrase, like when, you know, just the first thing he says, like the phrase, it's just a game, is such a weak mindset. When you teach children how to cope with the emotions that they feel in things like video games, the way you teach them to cope with loss is having them realize that it's just a game. This does not affect your life. This is not, your happiness and your self-worth should not be tied into you winning. It is just a game, and it's okay to lose because it's a video game.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I personally feel like, especially in an instance like that, I mean, I guess it, I know... A lot of younger kids right now are really into the whole, like, I want to be a professional gamer. I want to be Ninja, you know, which is great. Like, good for you. Like, awesome. Yes, do that. But also, like, it would be different if you took more of an angle of, like, it's just a game, but if you want to get better at it, like, that's great. Just try again.
Exactly.
You know, like.
Because that's the next thing is that he immediately says that if you're not getting angry, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You have to be angry. It is necessary to be angry to be good. That is not a thing you want to teach a 10-year-old playing Fortnite.
There's definitely a difference between anger and passion for something. And I feel like I want to be like, he just said it the wrong way. He didn't really mean it. But like,
but then you get the context.
He's a grown man and he kind of knows what. Like,
yeah, I think the sentiment he's going for, I would like to say that the sentiment he's going for is that whole, you know, don't give up mentality, you know, always strive for better, always strive to be, but he very specifically chose the word to be angry, which I think we all know has a very specific connotation among gamers, regardless of whether or not he thought of that. And he's also had, like, forever to clarify his tweet if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And he just doubled down on it. So, like, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and that's fine, but, like, you market yourself to children. Stop trying to teach 10-year-olds they need to get angry. Because 99% of people that are playing games don't do it professionally. They don't need to be the best of the best. They're playing for fun. And when the game stops being fun, the proper lesson is to put it down,
take a breather,
away, and deal with your emotions in a healthy way, instead of saying anger is the right option. Always be angry. If you're not angry, you're mediocre. What the fuck, dude?
He's right in that respect. Like, as much as I see your sides, and yeah, I agree to a point, but on the other foot, Ninja, and this is the part I didn't like, because I saw people on his commenting on your thing, on his thing, saying like, you know, this coming from a guy who's not even that great at the game, or...
He plays one game.
Or he's a guy... I saw someone say he lucked into fame. I don't believe that's...
No, he definitely worked very, very hard. Yeah. There's always a... I mean, I think in any bit of fame, there is a huge component of luck, but he works incredibly hard.
Yeah, it's unsustainably hard.
Yeah, building a brand is... It takes so much work. He doesn't just sit and play a video game and make money. Like, he works so hard.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, once you've... In nobody in this room has, or I mean, I wish you guys the best, and I wish the best for myself, but I don't think anybody in this room is going to hit ninja levels of fame.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, definitely.
Like we said, Nerf deals, Kids' Choice Awards, like
Super Bowl commercials.
Playing with Drake, you know, all this stuff with Drake, like, and all the other celebrities. He's achieved a level that's just got him, and I saw tweets from you as well saying that he's out of touch. That's true. And people who get that level of success and fame are out of touch because they have pushed themselves, I believe, to levels that the 99.5% of us will never hit. And once you do that, who's to tell him he's wrong? Like, if that's the mentality he used to be Ninja, and it's
but that doesn't mean it's healthy, and that doesn't mean that that's the mindset that you promote to the children
I think
that
I'm
you've
going
cultivated
for,
your brand for.
I think what I'm going for is... his tweet wasn't for you.
No, it wasn't. His tweet,
was for that kid who's grinding to be the best.
His tweet was for that 0.1% of gamers who play professionally, who play competitively professionally, who make money off of it. But it's read by the 99.9% of his followers who don't. And it's taken at face value because that's what he said.
They got to hear it, though.
Like, but if you're, but and that's the other thing is, if you're a 10-year-old kid or a 12-year-old kid, you're not going to look at a tweet from your idol and dissect the meaning behind it. You know, what did he really mean? He sent this, but what did he really mean? No, he said what he meant, and you're 10, and you're just going to be like, well, he said that getting angry is good, so when my mom tells me that it's not good to be angry, this guy that's successful and does what I want to do says that that's the right thing, so I'm going to listen to him.
I think
there's a lot of underlying issues that go along with this, like including the idea of hero worship and idolization of quote-unquote famous people, of children not being taught healthy coping mechanisms for their
my
emotions.
Tears don't come, I'm wondering why. Yeah, I could totally see the stand, you know, like a ninja stand maybe taking it too serious. I think, you know, to his credit, Ninja runs his own social account for better or worse, you know, which is pretty rare for a person that famous.
Like, he's got to have a publicist who's just like, all right, okay.
Maybe scratching their, might be scratching their head a little bit, but I think, like, the thing he's talking about is, you know, imperfection of your craft, how you want to get better if you're serious about it. And if I could say, if he could just have changed one word, angry.
Angry is the word he should have changed.
Yeah, and I don't.
Angry and weak. Because it's
I like weak.
Because it's just a game is not a weak mindset, because it is just a game.
If you're a competitive
for
person,
almost everybody. For 99.9% of people, it is literally just a game. It means nothing to the rest of your life.
I think
it has no effect.
If you are truly a competitive person, though, it is a weak mindset. Like, to me, I'm hyper competitive, so when I hear it's just a game is a weak mindset, I agree, because when I play games, I go hard. I'm a good loser. I lose a lot, but I want to be better. And I wouldn't say I get angry, so that's the one part that's different, but maybe he does. Maybe
of course he does. He's very publicly gotten angry about losing all the time.
And my aunt, we had the same thing. It was a couple years back. LeBron James was playing. It always goes back to LeBron James, but he was playing. He lost a playoff game or the championship, and he throws the basketball into the crowd and just like storms off, and he doesn't do his press interviews. And my aunt hates him for that. She's like, I hate LeBron James, he's a crybaby, you know. And me, I'm like, that's what I want to see in a player. Like, if I'm a Cleveland fan and my player is all smiles after he loses a big game, I'm like, where's your head at, dude? Like, you gotta, you know, I want passion. I want you to feel the loss, because I'm your fan and I feel the loss for you.
Ninja is not LeBron James.
He's
Ninja
the LeBron James of streaming.
How dare you? Don't ever compare him to LeBron
he
James.
He is. Okay. Who's
so here's
bigger?
The thing. Here's the thing. LeBron James, Tom Brady, both the people that Ninja compared himself to in that video.
He didn't compare himself
yes,
to.
He
said like, he, okay, maybe.
He said the word like, which is a comparison. So both of those people, you got to think in their career is based on them being at the top A level of their game all of the time. If they don't continue to perform and continue to perform basically perfectly, they're A, ripped to shreds, and B, they're not going to continue to get that salary. They're not going to continue to be on their team. They're going to get traded. They're going to whatever. He, for a long time, has not been a competitive player. His brand is not built on him being the best player in the world. And he's really transcended being just good at the game, and that's why he's famous. So like he could fall off
super fast,
and he has to maintain a high level of skill in the game, but he does not have to maintain being the best player in the world.
I don't think he's I think that's the thing. Like, I don't think of Ninja as a competitive player. I can think him as a video game entertainer.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
and at that, that is his craft. Being a professional Fortnite player is not Ninja's craft.
No.
And you can tell in his performance in tournaments.
Yeah.
He's an entertainer. And I think when he says in his tweet, like, what does he say? What's the imperfection of your craft or whatever? His craft is the streaming and entertainment. And to that, he is the Tom Brady. He is the Drake. Or, you know, he's the Kanye or whatever.
I would never say that because his ego is already out of control. And that is just going to go straight. Like, I guarantee you he's heard that all the time. And that has gone straight
to
his head.
Everybody you love who is the best at what they do has a massive ego.
Of course they do.
And
but
they
like,
have to.
That, this is a crystal clear example of like your ego is getting a little much. You're getting a little out of touch with your audience. Kind of take a step back and recognize that. And the thing here is like his word choice matters. Like, you can bend over backwards all you want to talk about the sentiment behind the words, what he really meant, what you think he meant. But word choice matters, especially when you are marketed to children who don't necessarily have the wherewithal to dissect a tweet.
Yeah, and I mean, you know. I'm going to agree with Corey in if he's not a professional player, he's not, you know, he's obviously not a professional player. He shouldn't be speaking like he is one. If you want to use it loosely, he's a professional when it comes to, like, streaming. But he's not a professional player by any means, and he shouldn't be speaking like he is, you know, which is kind of what his tweet
he did,
is.
Yeah, and he did used to be. Yeah, he used to be a professional player. He's kind of transcended, like I said, having to be really, really good and having to keep up those. Like, his salary's not tied to tournament winnings, I guess, is the easy way to say that.
I mean, I kind of think... In my opinion, I didn't like the word choice of weak because it has such a it had in that tweet in particular, it has an extremely negative connotation. Yep. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, I never get angry because being angry isn't healthy. And because feeling emotions that strongly is healthy. You know, you should feel those and you should learn to cope with those.
And
in
that's
a healthy
the
way.
Important part, the coping.
And being weak isn't necessarily a bad thing either. It just, if you want to get stronger at something and be less weak at it, then go for it. But it's not, if you're not immediately the best, like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I think overall, this was a mountain made out of a molehill. Like, I think
it really
this thing
was.
Really blew up out of nowhere. Like, it had news articles written about it.
There's 128 people yelling at me in the comments.
Yeah, talk about that for a minute. So I think the feedback for you, again, because, like, you can't just have an opinion anymore on the internet. Like, I don't think I fully agree with you or Ninja, like normal. I sit fairly in the middle, but a lot of people attacked you like ruthlessly.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It was chill. So there's, as of...
It was chill.
Like, I don't really care. Like I was saying earlier, I was like, every once in a while, this adds a little spice to your day. It's a little fun sometimes. Yeah, it's been a while since I got in a Twitter fight.
Keep you on your toes.
You know, we're good. But as of right now, this has 700... My tweet has 769 likes, 90 retweets, and 129 likes.
Jeez. What was most of the... Let's be generous and call them criticisms.
A lot of it was that there's a couple different camps that they fall into. One is that he's right, I'm wrong, like, this is how it's supposed to be.
Sure.
There's one camp that is, I need to stop talking because I'm a woman and I'm not allowed to have opinions on video games. There was a good amount of that. That's always fun. But yeah, I think the overwhelming majority of people that disagreed with me and agreed with Ninja are kind of on that side of like, this is the way you get better. This is the way you play video games. Sure. This is how it's supposed to be. And even to the effect of like, this is how he is. And my point is, like I said, like, word choice matters. 99% of people do not play professionally and do not need to maintain a level of anger to get better at a game. And it's okay if you lose. And teaching children that losing is bad is... or that losing is something that
makes
should
you weak.
Make you weak is terrible. Because I'm coming at this as, this is a problem because of his audience. This is a problem because of who his audience is, and specifically because that is an audience he himself has worked very hard to cultivate. Like I said, this did not happen by accident. He doesn't accidentally have a fan base of children. Like, that was on purpose. And at that point, you have an obligation to cater kind of what you say, knowing that. But yeah, a lot of it was just like, you're wrong, he's right, you suck at video games, you've never played a game before, women aren't allowed to have opinions on video games.
That's one thing I did take offense to, because, you know, I will endorse you of being very good at video games.
Thank
That's
you.
That's one thing I Thank will you. Compliment you on. I don't know about competitive FPS, but if like normal everyday games, you are very talented.
Thank you. And, I try.
Yeah, no, like you put it on the hardest difficulty, you do it on stream, like there's no strings attached, you legitimately play. And then a lot of them were saying, you don't know anything about video games. You said, I host a video game podcast, and my favorite response to that was, just for casuals. It's like, what the fuck?
It's like, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
If you make a podcast about video games in any capacity, you are not a casual.
Yeah.
It means you really care about it.
And on the one hand, I was like, it doesn't really matter if I play video games or not, because I'm dissecting his word choice. But yeah. B, also, can you fucking read? Like, it's in my Twitter bio.
Yeah.
But you know they didn't look at your Twitter bio.
Oh, no. Oh, no, they looked at the picture.
Yeah.
They were like, ah,
woman.
That is a woman. Somebody literally replied that just said, okay, woman.
I would draft.
I was like,
Good talk. Thank you.
If I was going to, like, insult you or attack you based off of this tweet your profile picture, uh-huh. I would have started with the drafted into the My Chemical Romance Army part of it.
It's the MC Army?
That is Thank the you. Most embarrassing part of your Twitter profile right
excuse
now.
You.
I'm sorry, I'm a little older.
Yeah,
and for me.
Yeah, you are.
I like Pink Floyd too, Corey. Like,
wow, really?
I went to a Pink Floyd
They're one of my
show.
Favorite bands.
Really?
They're like tied for my first favorite band.
Well, so how could you like them and My Chemical Romance? They're not even in the same.
Because you find a generation of emo kids.
Yeah, like it just, they're still good. You might not think they're good, but a lot of people think they're good.
I gave my
Hashtag
baby
MC Army.
A Pink Floyd laser light show last night. We've been trying to like do things. I don't know. You start reading studies because it's our first pregnancy, so you kind of obsess over everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I was reading that if you play like the same song over and over again while they're in the womb, and when they get out, they'll recognize that tune.
When they get out, like it's prison.
It is. Imagine being stuck in there. Like, that's got to be hell.
When they've served their time.
Well, we have all been there before, so.
So we've been getting more, like, into it, and so I've been playing, like, some. I try and play gentle music, because I don't want to, like, scare the
Play the
baby.
My Chemical Romance.
You want to scare the baby?
Well, babies can cry at this stage, like, inside the womb, so I'm, like, worried. I don't want to play anything too harsh, so I went through Pink Floyd.
And like, shut up.
I had a cell phone on her stomach on one, and then a flashlight. Doing like some circles and stuff, because I also read that she could see and
see,
track
that's
light now.
Wholesome, like I'm not gonna lie, that's a little bit wholesome.
Just play a little bit of My Chemical Romance for just a little bit.
They have they
give
have
her a healthy.
If you
variety.
Look on Spotify, they have the lullaby versions of My Chemical Romance songs.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just like they
not needed information.
So good, I'm so excited for that show. Did you get tickets to the show?
No,
I'm so excited.
I truthfully didn't even try.
It was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. I saw tickets in the pit going for $9,000.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was ridiculous. But yeah, that's my day.
That's
that was
your
my day.
All right. Well,
my day wasn't nearly as exciting.
I've never had a day that exciting in my life. The next thing I have just on the like agenda, let's talk about it, is the what the fuck happened with Sonic the Hedgehog? How did this get burned?
Best movie of all time.
Into ashes and rise like a phoenix.
It's that marketing. I'm telling you, all those conspiracy theories might have been right.
It was a scam.
Oh, yeah.
They hooked us because they got us all endeared with tooth like ugly Sonic.
See, I don't agree with that.
What do you think?
Anyone that knows me at all, I love a good conspiracy theory. I mm-hmm. do. They're like, I love a good conspiracy theory of any kind. But, I mean, I don't want to say that it's a conspiracy theory and then also ignore the fact that after that fix happened, their
they all
entire
got fired.
Team got laid off.
Who did?
The entire Sonic team that fixed it. The,
no anim-
they got the animation laid off. Studio yeah. that repaired Sonic immediately got laid off.
Yeah,
like that
wow.
when it was company went under.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, one, yeah. I love a good conspiracy theory. I don't think it's really a conspiracy theory.
No, I totally don't either.
Also, I haven't seen the movie yet, but also I am a diehard fan of Pikachu. So people that are saying that it's better than Detective Pikachu, I have to see it to give an opinion on it.
So the context here is that Detective Pikachu, prior to this movie, was the best video game movie of all time, right? made $54.3 million.
Holy shit.
Sonic made $57 million the opening weekend.
Wow.
Sonic is the best performing video game movie of all time.
You know what?
In its first weekend.
But do we, I'm asking to ask because I truthfully just don't know. Do we have anything that says that that, is that just based on like the hype or is it like a good movie?
What's the Rotten Tomatoes score on it? That's not great, but
no, that's a good idea.
I've heard both that it's surprisingly good, and then I thought I saw one tweet that was like an actual movie reviewer who said anybody who tells you that Sonic was shockingly good either hates you or is stupid. It's wow. Like, geez.
So the tomato meter has like slowly declined because I do remember seeing it a few days ago up at like a 70.
Okay.
And it's mellowed out from the critics' consensus to about a 64%. But okay. The audience score, which I usually put a little more weight into, is at a 94%,
oh, wow.
Which is fucking insane.
Yeah. So now that I see that headline, as soon as I read that headline, and I had seen it a couple times about it being the best video game movie of all time, I'm curious where that comes from because Assassin's Creed grossed $240 million. So I don't
Did
really
it
know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It made a lot of money. It was a bad movie, but it made a good
amount
of money.
Which one?
Assassin's Creed.
Wow.
So it grossed $54 million in the U.S. and $186 worldwide. So I'm not sure where that, I'm going to correct myself. I don't know where that best video game movie of all time.
I mean, I definitely think that the hype going into like the redesign of Sonic and like the buzz around that, I feel like that definitely contributed to it. And from what I've seen from my friends that have seen the movie, it's an entertaining movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't put any sort of, cinematic merit to it. I don't know. It's not going to win an Oscar by any
means. Right. Like, this isn't your A24 indie project.
Truthfully, if I go see a movie based on Sonic the Hedgehog, I'm not looking for some, like, Oscar-worthy movie. I'm looking to see a Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Exactly.
I think I was a Sega kid growing up, so, I mean, I loved Sonic back in the OG days, and then I sat through and watched in agony as they dragged his name through the mud.
Oh, no.
By turning him into a werewolf hedgehog and doing like every stupid thing they could that was gimmicky, and they just made it like you were embarrassed to like Sonic. But this is a feels good, man. This is like, all right, maybe Sonic's back. I'm a little bummed they didn't use my boy Roger Craig Smith, who's voice acted him through some of those darker periods and stuck with the character. He was also Sonic in the Wreck-It Ralph movies and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I thought it was pretty weird that they, you know.
I wonder if that, because that's a Disney thing, I wonder if they legally could not get him because of that.
He was in the movie The Wreck-It Ralph.
No, I know, but I wonder if that's why they legally couldn't use him, because that's a Disney property and maybe they can't use the same character with the same voice actor and there's some sort of non-compete. However, they probably also wanted a big name or bigger name. I wouldn't say that what's his face, John Ralphio, is like the biggest name, but he definitely has some name recognition.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at this Rotten Tomatoes. They have the top box office right next to it. And mm-hmm. It says Birds of Prey, 17.3 million.
Which has been out for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So it's in its third weekend.
Sonic the Hedgehog, 58 million.
Yeah.
Wow. That seems lopsided based off of like...
I mean, Birds of Prey made 80 million in its first week. 30 million domestically, but 80 globally in its first weekend.
Okay.
So Birds of Prey is in its, what, third weekend now? So, yeah, of course it's going to be way lower than an opening weekend of a kid's movie.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. I didn't know if that was, like, total or just, like, the week. It doesn't give me the information.
I believe the 57 is total, but don't quote me on that. And that's the other, like, I've seen a lot of those compare. Somebody else posted on Twitter, like, comparing, like, which of these movies is better? And I'm like, one is an R-rated movie and one is a kid's movie. Guess which one's going to get more ticket sales?
Yeah. I was a hard no on going to see this movie.
Oh, me too. I'll watch it when it's free.
I was going to Redbox it, but actually I think I'm swayed now. I want to go check it out. I think I'm going to buy into the hype. Nostalgia.
Sonic the Hedgehog was the first video game I ever played.
Really?
Because I had a Sega Genesis. It was the first game I ever played.
Sonic 1 or 2?
My baby. 1, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, just straight up OG, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Straight up OG. Mm-hmm. See, I think even my first one, I started with Sonic 2 and then I went back somehow. Next news story I have here is just like what's going on in the world is coronavirus, man. It is actually affecting many.
Ooh, yeah.
Besides, you
know, affecting the global economy.
Yeah, it's affecting people, like, first and foremost, lives. You know, that's sad. Our hearts go out, yeah, and wow, luckily,
you're like, oh yeah, it was just lives.
Well, I mean, you know, because if you don't, people are gonna be like, oh, you fucking don't care about human life.
Hate,
like,
people.
Yeah, of course we do. We love people, and you know, all that good stuff. But it's affecting gamers, it's affecting esports, and I guess video games in China have just been through the roof because people can't go outside.
Aren't going out. Yeah.
It's thrown off like the League of Legends LCS schedules, Overwatch League schedules that we talked about.
7.65 million people under quarantine
in
China.
It's crazy. So, of course, it's going to affect other things. You said you saw, like, some weird advertising stuff, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, tell my God.
That story.
I'm not going to shit on this company, like, publicly. Yeah, but there's a makeup shop in locally that I follow on Instagram.
Oh, it's local?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're a local shop.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I'm just, like, scrolling through Instagram, and I see it pops up as, like, it's a like a generic graphic for like a virus and like bacterial. It's like red and yellow and it's very bright and like whatever. And then it just says coronavirus in big words. And then the caption is basically advertising their business as it was the sentiment of, hey, you should check out our shop because none of our products come from China. And it was
even
so bad.
I already heard this story and even hearing it again, I'm just like, ugh.
And they were like, fully, and this wasn't like a quick thing. It was a very, very long caption about how they're like, none of our products come from China. You know, nothing about coronavirus. Like, this is how it's affecting the global economy and how it's affecting the makeup industry because a lot of makeup is made in China. And
it's using fear.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Which is what I kind of called them on. I commented on it. I was like, hey, like, first of all, this is completely false. You cannot and will not catch coronavirus from a package, which has been confirmed by the CDC and by independent researchers all over the U.S. And you're using false information to advertise your business based on a viral epidemic that's causing global panic and a healthy amount of or an unhealthy amount of racism to advertise your business. Like, maybe not.
What was more tone deaf, this or those awful, god awful esports jerseys for women that were just little dresses?
Oh, man. You're just like trying to bring it all up today.
You remember
you're
that?
Trying to bring
though.
It all up.
Corey wants to fight today.
He does. No, he wants me to fight specifically.
No, I've been in the marketing game now in esports for a while, and so I have a spot in my brain for just like, oh, that was the worst of the worst. And those two now are very much compartmentalized, along with another, you know, local company that we can talk about that had some shady business practices that I won't get into. But there's a lot of people who do a lot of stupid stuff. And right now, the Sonic game is strong. What they did was brilliant. This is bad. and if I have to hear one more fucking person make the coronavirus more like the Bud Light virus, that is going to drive me up the goddamn wall. That is just as bad. So stop it. If you've ever made that joke, stop it.
Yeah, so what? PlayStation is skipping PAX? Yeah,
that's another
because what? There's like
thing.
One confirmed case in Boston, and now like their entire company is skipping a huge convention.
Yeah. No, like, it's
okay.
I mean, maybe they just wanted an out because they haven't been doing shows no more. They're like, we already don't have to do anything.
But they've already dropped a lot of money on that. It's coming up quick.
And also, wasn't Sony saying that like they're going to go to so many cons this year?
I have no idea.
That's
remember.
What I was like. I read something about that it was like they want to go to like.
They're like, we're not doing E3. We're doing
hundreds.
This
no, they want to go to like hundreds of cons this year.
So their actual quote was, today, Sony Interactive Entertainment has made the decision to cancel its participation in PAX East in Boston due to the increasing concerns related to the coronavirus. We felt that it was the safest option as the situation is changing daily. We are disappointed to cancel our participation in this event, but health and safety for our global workforce is our highest concern. Wow.
It makes sense. Like, if you want to be... You know, if you want to be that safe, then go for it.
I mean, they clearly thought that it was a big enough concern that they should skip because they're losing money on this for sure.
Oh, so much money.
They've already paid for booth space. They've already, which is not
hotels
cheap
for everyone.
Yeah,
travel.
They what was on the table that they were going to discuss more about was The Last of Us Part 2, mm-hmm. their Final Fantasy remake, and Doom Eternal.
Yep.
So I guess we got to wait a little bit longer to hear about those. In other news, this was kind of exciting. Overwatch and Diablo. There was a leak. I think it was on LinkedIn.
Of course there was. It was fucking Blizzard.
The president of Activision Blizzard. It was on his LinkedIn profile that he's like, yeah, I did this animated series, or like, I cultivated this animated series based on Blizzard's Overwatch franchise and Diablo. And so now everyone...
He can't use them as a reference
anymore.
Did he
just not know that...
I mean, I guess. And Blizzard even came out and was like, hey, we don't have anything to say about this. You know, we have Overwatch 2 and like... Diablo coming out and they're focusing on that. Neither of them have a release date, but they were like, please, just, you could see them like sweating a little bit. I, for one, if this is true, which I'm gonna roll with the excitement for a little bit, I'm very excited. I love Overwatch. I love Overwatch lore. I will lose my mind.
That's the thing for me, is I'm interested in Overwatch lore, and if this is true, it gives them a chance to finally fucking put some of it out there instead of just saying, oh, we have such a rich history. This game has such rich lore. Then fucking just, show us. Yeah.
And I mean, they've been saying that with Overwatch 2 as well, like that it's going to be much more story-based, which is also exciting. And they also have the animated shorts, which are fantastically done.
So
if the series is anything like those, like, it's gonna be insane.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I'm just like, I just want everything to make sense, and I want all of it. Mm-hmm. Please hurry.
But like, what is it about Blizzard that they can't keep anything secret? Nobody has as many leaks as they do. What is it?
No comment.
Wow. Did he just not make you guys sign NDAs? Yeah. What? They're just like, honor system.
Yeah. No comment.
That big, too. Like, you know that guy got a talking to from someone.
I mean, Overwatch is in the news again. That's a positive thing. I think...
maybe it's their business practice. Maybe they do it on purpose. It happens so often. Maybe it's just how they release news.
I think they've heard that feedback, though. And based off of what we know of Overwatch 2, it's going to be entirely story-based. So it's not just going to be the competitive shooter it is now. It's all, like, four-player co-ops.
Yeah.
Very story-driven. Like, it feels kind of like a little... like, I don't know, like a... an RPG almost in how you level up your skills and you can different loadouts and stuff. So
I'm so excited.
That's cool. That's going to be a lot more lore. And then the fact that they're going to be throwing in story, I think they're ready to put their money where their mouth is and actually show us
stuff.
It's
been what, like 4, 5, 6 years?
It's been
saying,
4 years.
Oh, you know, we have such a rich story. Like there's so many big things that we want to tell you guys about. Stop saying that and do it, which I hope is what this animated series and Overwatch 2 will fucking do.
Well, their shorts are badass.
They're so good.
Every short they've ever produced.
We get so few of them.
Yeah, you get one at BlizzCon and like one. Yeah.
And like the lore that they talk about a lot of times is like hidden in the background. They're like, there's a picture back here that has these people in it who you didn't know had met before. Like whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. What was the last big, like, piece of lore that we got from Overwatch? I mean, I don't really.
Who was the last character? Usually,
it was Sigma.
We don't have a whole lot about him.
Yeah, we don't really have a whole lot about him. I want to say.
Was it the D.Va one? The D.Va one.
I want to say.
Which really made me want to get into that world. Like this whole new series could be about that. Apparently, there's like a bunch of divas.
The different mechs.
Yeah, with different pilots and stuff. Yeah, no, they've done a really good job making interesting characters.
And her cute friend.
That's the only thing keeping the game alive, I would say. I think if Overwatch didn't have these amazingly captivating characters with these cool backstories that they've given them,
it would just be paladins.
It would be Paladins or Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, that Team Fortress 2 had a very, you know, they had a very ardent fan base who will still live and die by that game.
Yeah, they still have a very ardent fan base. It's just not huge.
It's just not mainstream. Overwatch's characters have broken into that mainstream. If you go to Pornhub, number one search video game, Overwatch, baby.
Oh, Corey.
Hey, it's facts.
You're a disgusting person.
That's straight up facts.
I mean, he's not, okay, like. Yes, sure. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to segue from that comment.
It's true, and it's for a reason. Like, that's just one aspect of it. Like, can you imagine a game that came out 4 years ago? That's crazy. It's just a sign of how powerful that game is.
Uh-huh. I like that you're not mentioning, like, the international, you know, presence that, like, the league has and stuff.
Oh, no, but it's not the porn.
It's porn.
It's the porn.
All
the
that
porn
too.
Is what's keeping it domestically.
All that, too.
Because that's those is domestic.
Not that it's
figures.
Your job or anything.
No, it's,
like,
it's all one. It's all in the same bucket, but it's just.
Is it?
Yeah, it just crosses over into many things. So, yeah, we'll be keeping our eye out for that. Next thing I want to talk about, though, here we go. This story came out of nowhere for me. They've always been talking of, like, who would play Nathan Drake if they made an Uncharted movie.
When did this become, like, an official announcement?
It is now. IGN had a story. They interviewed Tom Holland, who is saying that this Uncharted movie is going to break the motif of video game movies.
I'm excited.
Which is actually, I read his comment, and I fully agree with him that it's a great idea.
Educate me, because I have not read his comment.
It's in the article that you're looking at. So basically, he says that the Uncharted movie is going to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that previous video game movies have had, in that it's going to be an origin story to the game. So, like, the Tomb Raider movie is, like, a very recent one. They're recreating, they're making a movie based on the game. This is going to be a movie with the character, you know, based on the characters leading up to the game. Yeah. So, if you've never played the game, and if you've played the game, you're getting the same amount of information. You're not going to have that thing of, like, oh, well, this scene was different, and this was different, and, like with Tomb Raider, where you're watching the movie, and you're like, you conflated so many different characters together, and you took plot points from different things, and you put them in the same game, and you took this out, and you changed this. You don't have any of that, because they're telling a new story. Which, I agree, is a good idea.
Is it going to be as good as Sonic the Hedgehog, though?
It better be. They have some big shoes to fill with Sonic, because he's coming out talking a big game.
Yeah.
It is interesting they decided to go that route with a younger actor and do that. Everyone has always kind of hoped and thought it was going to be Nathan Fillion. So maybe at the end, if they do like one of those after the credit scenes and it's him, like, I think it'd be worth it. Everybody loses their shit.
That'd be pretty good.
You could have that one for free, Sony. Make that happen. Do it after the credits. Just have him turn his shoulder wearing the damn suspenders or whatever.
Wow, yeah. Honestly, I think that'd be
They gotta make a franchise out of the Tom Holland one first. They gotta franchise that.
Yeah.
And then think about moving on.
He was a brilliant choice.
He's so good.
Hell yeah.
He actually kind of even looks like a young version of the character.
I mean, he's like a white brunette young guy.
It's not a really hard shoot.
I guess if you put it that way, he's most video game characters. Yeah. So he could have been anybody.
He's an attractive white
brown hair.
The only thing he's missing is like the scruff.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if they're doing young Nathan Drake, then
he has time to grow scruff.
Yeah, that too.
The next big unexpected celebrity to sign an exclusive streaming agreement has happened. Did you read the story?
No.
Who do you think it is?
I think I saw the name. I didn't read the story attached to it though.
Ronda Rousey.
What does she stream?
She streams Pokemon Sword and Shield, apparently.
Okay.
Facebook Gaming. I don't know what they're thinking, but they Fair got enough. Exclusivity to Ronda Rousey.
She's MMA?
Yeah.
She's an MMA fighter. I was about to say that so confidently, and I was like, what if I'm wrong?
No,
she's an MMA fighter.
Okay, that's why I don't know who she is. Okay.
Yeah.
She kind of revolutionized women's MMA. She came from a judo Olympic background. She was, you know, the hottest one out there. She had TV, all sorts of big, you know, sponsorship deals. And then someone just figured her out, and she got knocked out pretty viciously, like three times in a row. And she's like, all right, I'm done fighting. And then she did like a year of WWF or WWE wrestling.
Oh, wow.
And then now she's an official Facebook streamer. So
good for her. Get that money.
Go, Rhonda. I hope she gets mad when she loses, though, because she's going to need it. I don't think who wanted exclusivity for her, though? Like, was she really threatening to go to Twitch and...
I don't think that's the point, though. The point is that you have to be quick and scoop them up before somebody else does. Like, and you're in this whole streaming war era. Like, you got to be quick.
I want to follow up on this so bad, and I think I will, just for science. Like, how many people are going to sit there and watch a Ronda Rousey Pokemon stream?
I mean, I will watch anyone's Pokemon stream.
Facebook? How many Facebook streams have you watched?
I have watched a total of 2 Facebook streams. Neither of them were Pokemon related, but they were Overwatch.
Okay. All right. Well, that's positive, though.
Yeah, I mean... I mean,
did you know them? Why were you watching?
I was curious about Facebook gaming's, like, what it was about. I had never really poked around on it, and one night I just wanted to see what was up. One of my friends was talking about it, who is a current Twitch partner, and they were like, yeah, like, I've been talking to them and blah blah blah, and I was like, oh, like, I should check it out. I like it. I mean, I'm one of those people where Twitch is just like my home when it comes to watching and streaming content, you know.
It's comfortable. It's the reason a lot of people choose.
Yeah, no shade to any other streaming platform or anything.
It has the market share.
Yeah, but I mean, I know a lot of, I mean, geez, Mixer got Ninja, so I definitely think it is a matter of just who can
exactly
snatch you up and hand you, like, the nicest paycheck.
What's the person that Caffeine just got that we were talking about last week?
Drake.
Was it Drake?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Caffeine got Drake.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know Caffeine had money.
I've never...
I didn't know Caffeine had more than, like, 10 streamers on it.
I've never even been to the Caffeine streaming website. I'm actually going there right now to run a quick little, like, just while we're at it, see what the numbers are.
I've been on Caffeine a couple times because I had a couple friends who streamed exclusively on Caffeine a while ago because they were paid to. Like, Caffeine was paying people, like most of these platforms do. Like, they pay people to exclusively be on their platform, yada, yada, yada. And that is no longer the case. At some point down the road, they just didn't do that anymore. And I'm like, it's because they were saving up for Drake.
Yeah, and I mean, I know of...
They couldn't justify you anymore.
There were a couple Overwatch streamers that I watch on Twitch that they did, like, a handful of streams on Caffeine because they were like, hey, like, come check it out. You know, like, this isn't sponsored, but, like, it's definitely sponsored. Like, please come watch me.
So just looking at it, Caffeine, I can't even find an Overwatch, like, area. I can't find anybody streaming Overwatch.
It's clunky.
I think Caffeine is more for creatives.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's definitely gaming on it, but I believe the way it was marketed, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe the way it was marketed, especially in the beginning, and what it was created for, was for creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the gaming was kind of like, oh, you can also do this here.
Yeah.
Facebook is smart and doesn't give you, like, a full, like, how many people total are watching this, but the number one streamer on Facebook playing Overwatch right now has 11 viewers, and then it's 8, and then 4, then 3, and then 1.
Maybe I should take Facebook the leap.
Also,
and you should, like, yeah. You would make waves in that pond.
But Facebook also massively inflates video views. So I'd be curious to see how much that translates into live stream views.
The one thing that also makes me just slightly uncomfortable about Facebook gaming for some reason is on Twitch you have, like, usernames and stuff like that. On Facebook gaming you don't have that.
No?
At least when you're a viewer, I notice it's like it's your Facebook name that you're typing in chat as and
hard
stuff like that.
That's a hard pass.
I'm pretty sure the streamers themselves, like, they get a handle, but the viewers, as far as I know, it's like, this is my name and I am in your stream. Here's my everything.
That immediately keeps me from watching anybody's stream.
Yeah. You know, the other weird part is I couldn't get over was just, like, the random people from your life that you accumulate on Facebook. Because it pops up, like, on your feed.
This person's streaming now.
I had someone from, like, a church I attended, like, 15 years ago popping through and having conversation. I was like, okay.
You're just raging on Overwatch.
People coming in and watching.
Yeah, my grandma.
I had issues. I've had to block my grandparents from my public Facebook account because they kept commenting on things like it was my personal account.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so they would comment, like, my grandma would specifically call me her granddaughter in comments on my public page. I was like, grandma, please.
Yeah.
So I, like, flat out, like, had to block them.
This is not good for me. This is not good for you. Like,
I was like, I'm going to block my grandma. What the hell?
It was a little weird getting, my grandma was, no joke, my number one commenter. Like,
I'm pretty sure everyone's grandma is everyone's number one commenter.
Moving over to Mixer, 500 total people watching Overwatch right now.
Wow.
The number one streamer has 96 people watching, so more than the entirety of Facebook.
Wow.
Then you go over to Twitch, which has about 18,500 people watching, with 3,000 watching Sure4 right now.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, a lot of, like, pro players streaming to just a few hundred, which is a little interesting too. But yeah, it's just you can't. Twitch has got everyone. They were first to market. That's where you go.
Somebody in chat says, "But what about YouTube gaming?"
You know what? YouTube gaming is popping off. And I would
Are you being paid to say that?
Are you kidding me? Google immediately demonetized him when he mentioned the word YouTube.
160. They're saying that the deal, I don't know if this is alleged or if there's facts behind it. They're saying that YouTube paid $160 million for 3 years of Overwatch League.
Yeah, I read that CDL. As well.
So, and the original deal was for 2 years, $90 million for Twitch from what was published. So that's
a sizable jump.
It's Google. They have more money than God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you think about it, the per year is lower.
Yeah.
And I think they get CDL wrapped into that. So Call of Duty League and the Overwatch League. But I feel like Overwatch League gets more from YouTube. In like post match and so I'm not sure where it all evens out, but
I'm definitely interested to see how the rest of the season goes on YouTube Gaming, because something that I've noticed over the last 2 weeks is a lot of people just spamming in chat to go back to Twitch. Between that and
you just fucking ignore those people though.
Yeah, if there's like any crunchers in chat. So
oh no, I don't think we ever addressed that. But you know
what does that mean? So oh boy,
please explain.
I'm not a real gamer. You have to explain things to me, as the people on Twitter.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the people on Twitter don't think I'm a real gamer either. Yes. So. But basically, last weekend, the first weekend of Overwatch League being streamed on YouTube Gaming, there was definitely a lot of production faults and a lot of... It was just a bit clunky. They definitely didn't take the time to, like, iron things out as well as they should have been. And so, for instance, in the middle of, like, team fights that are very important to, you know, the game, mm-hmm. Or commenters commenting, they would accidentally, like, pop up an ad.
Oh,
or
is
something.
This the commercial thing?
Yeah, so the Cheez-Its Grooves meme... because Overwatch League is sponsored by Cheez-Its Grooves.
And it would just come up in the middle of a play.
Yeah. And so it was a lot. And now it's a big meme right
Here's
now.
Here's the thing, though. I think, again, it was effective. I've bought in 2 boxes of Cheez-It Grooves. And I've seen...
I think you're just very susceptible to advertising.
No, I'm susceptible to good advertising.
I'm not even going to lie. Like, I went to the supermarket... Okay, first of all, who calls it the supermarket?
Who calls it the supermarket?
Where am I? Yeah. I went and bought some groceries a few days ago, and there was definitely the thought in my mind where I was like, man, maybe I should get some Cheez-It Grooves. Just because it's...
Overwatch League heard you, and they're going to keep doing what they did last week.
Yeah, honestly...
I hope this
last weekend, it was pretty smooth. There's definitely a couple things, but I also know it's a new, like, having to move everyone around and set things up and all across the country, which is totally understandable.
I think the Overwatch League social media and whoever's, you know, I think there must have been some changes recently, and they're really embracing the meme culture of the Overwatch fans a lot more, because the next week...
You just
week,
can't fight it.
Yeah, you look foolish if you fight it. And what they did is they leaned into it, and they even posted like a graphic or a meme, you know, into it that had like the Cheez-Its logo instead of the tracer over the and had said like Crunch League or something like
Hilarious.
That.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely feel like they're starting to realize the fan culture that Overwatch has, and like Corey said, they're definitely embracing it a lot more. I saw a lot of people over the first and second weekends being like, I can't believe people are teabagging in Overwatch League. It's so rude and inconsiderate. And
Wait,
we're just like,
professional players are teabagging?
Yeah, but the players, I think the Emma, players I, think it's funny.
I'm curious what Emma has to say about that.
I've just always thought teabagging is really stupid.
It is.
Like, what are you doing?
But the fan culture within Overwatch is meme-y and stuff like that. So
no one in the audience.
The players think it's funny. If you watch their streams, they're doing it to each other all the time. Like, you know, players think it's funny. The fans think it's funny. Like,
yeah, you can't. There's a large majority of the Overwatch, you know, fan base that is very of the opinion of, you know, everybody respect everybody type of thing. They don't want. And it's kind of tough because we also have a Call of Duty team and the Huntsman, and the Call of Duty
very different fan base.
The fan bases are so different. Like, they're equally as passionate, but they love the trash talk. They love like the spice on social media, and to a degree, Overwatch. There's a large amount of Overwatch fans who do too. And it's just always a point of conflict. Like, how far is too far? What's disrespectful? What's respectful? And I am of the opinion that this is it's a sports league. And it's,
yeah.
And you want rivalries. We all love, I have a code that I've always done for all the social I've ran. And you never insult a player, or you never make it personal. You never attack things beyond like someone's control. But you gotta forge rivalries. So anything that happens in game is fair game. And so if they talked trash a little bit before, or they tried to pop off on you, like, you are well within your rights to hit them back. If you want to be that type of org that calls people out and talks shit for no reason, not me. I don't do that either. I think that kind of looks bad on you. But you got to make it interesting. You can't be worried about hurting everybody's feelings. If you get dunked on, you don't always need to reply. Just eat it and then hit them back later when you win. Like, it's just...
Yeah. I mean, I even had...
It's just a game.
It is. It's just a
game. I mean, yeah. I actually had an interview with an org like a couple months back, and I was sitting in my video interview, and one of the interview questions that they asked me was like, so how do you feel about... It was for a social media position. One of the questions that they asked me was, you know, how do you feel about like rivalries and being able to like clap back on Twitter and stuff like that? And I was like, I mean, like Corey said, it's a sports league, and there's definitely
and it's good for your brand to have a voice.
Yeah, and there is at the end of the day, like, yes, Overwatch is a more meme-y culture, but there is a considerate and also effective way of doing it without being offensive and attacking people. But I mean, if you look at the players, if you watch the player streams, even their exchanges on Twitter and stuff like that, they're all kind of sassy and clapbacky with each other.
Yeah, and they're all
at the end of the day, they're all friends.
Exactly. Yeah. They all work at the same place. They all got to see each other on the road and stuff. I'm sure there's ones that generally don't like each other, but for the most part, and I feel like of all the players in the league, the guys that are out there like Dogman, Super, Surefour, like the ones that have the personality and aren't afraid to like meme and troll and get on the mic and say something a little stupid, like, that's what we live for. Yeah. That's why those are the most entertaining and popular players in the league.
Yeah. And that's why for lack of a better word, they're the faces of it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that's our show, man. We went on a journey this week.
That was an adventure.
I mean, this Emma versus Ninja thing, I guess, is just going to continue. I don't think there's any resolution. Versus,
because that implies that the other party is participating. And
he clearly just does things to make you mad at this point. I think
specifically.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel so targeted.
He's like, you know that Emma girl?
Definitely knows who I am.
Yeah.
He unsubbed to our channel, I'm pretty sure, immediately after your tweet, which is a bummer.
Damn,
he had a tier 3 sub, too. So.
Katie Plays, where can people watch you stream? Oh, what is on the... What types of games can they expect to see?
Well, you can find me on twitch.tv at twitch.tv/KatiePlays. It's K-A-I-T-I-E Plays. I don't know why my voice just cracked. But basically, I do play a lot of Overwatch. I like a lot of indie games, a lot of RPGs, kind of just whatever we're feeling at the moment. Definitely stop by. We'll probably eventually play something that you like. And honestly, sometimes we just hang out and watch Vine compilations and listen to music.
For a good Vine compilation.
Oh, we all do.
You RP and stuff too, right? Don't you like roleplay?
Dungeons and Dragons? Yeah, I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. If you follow me on Twitter, it's the same as my Twitch, K-A-I-T-I-E Plays. I meme a lot. I meme a lot about Dungeons and Dragons, about Overwatch League. I watch a lot of Overwatch League. It's a fun time. Just come hang out and say hi. We're all really nice.
Yeah. Emma Skies, you've been all into The Sims again lately, right? Is that what the game is?
Yeah, every Valentine's Day, I don't know if you know this, every Valentine's Day, I do the same stream. I play The Sims. And I have a specific sim that I only play on Valentine's Day, and the entire point is to romance and murder as many people in the game as I can.
Okay, perfect.
So romance them. Generally, it's even better if they have another family and I take them from that family. And then when I kill them, I go back to their house and take
their
wife too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have they not added like a police system in there where you can get in trouble or wanted stars or something?
Nope.
That would be interesting. I think.
And to be fair, I'm not killing them. They're drowning.
Do you put them in the pool and like take the ladder out?
Yes, I do.
Wait, and
you can't do it anymore. You have to close it in because they can get out without a ladder. So you have to put a wall around it. Lame.
I didn't know that.
And what happens? They just get exhausted and die?
Yeah, they drown.
Yeah.
That is morbid.
Yeah. Because a lot of times what I would do before is, and the other common way is that you just put them in a room and then you take the door and they starve to death.
Oh, God.
But that takes too long. It takes a little too long. I had one guy who wouldn't die, and I couldn't figure out why, so I just put him in the pool.
Did the do they ever come back to haunt you? I thought
yes.
I remember they
you can have ghosts.
The ghosts can come back, right?
So that house has, like, in my living room, there's all of their urns, and then you can, there's, like, an option in The Sims 4 to, like, strengthen their bond with the physical plane, and it basically makes their ghost. So my house is, like, inhabited by all their ghosts.
So anybody was
so happy Valentine's Day. So anyway, we had our Valentine's Day stream. I now have all of the expansions and everything for The Sims, and I was just like, I'm gonna keep playing. So that one is still reserved for Valentine's Day. But it's a good time.
Wow. You know, I said I was gonna start streaming on Mondays again. You know, my wife goes and watches The Bachelor, but I just can't bring myself to click the button.
I don't understand how often this show is on. Didn't it just have a season like 2 weeks ago?
They alternate between Bachelor and Bachelorette.
But isn't there also a third one, so it's just on all the time?
That's probably Bachelor in Paradise, yeah.
What? I don't understand. I don't know what any of
it is never. The Bachelor is never not on. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, I can't escape. And they're like 4-hour episodes? I don't get it.
If people stopped watching it, maybe they would stop.
Please stop watching.
From what I've heard, like,
it gives me Mondays to myself, so.
I was telling Corey before we started, I have seen every single episode of Dance Moms in existence.
She was on my flight once.
Who? Honey
Abby,
Boo Boo?
Yeah, because her studio is... Not Honey Boo Boo. You're thinking the wrong thing. Oh. Abby Lee. Her studio was a couple blocks from my school.
Oh, yeah?
So she was on one of my flights once, and it was a fucking madhouse trying to get my luggage. And I was like, please,
I just want to leave.
Please. I don't care about you. You're a mean
just
person.
Just give me my carry-on. I just want to get out of here.
If you guys have not already heard, I mean, I talk about it every episode. It's the number one thing is the Overwatch League is coming to the Bay Area. It's a massive showcase of esports at the highest level. Even if you're not the biggest Overwatch League Overwatch fan, it's just going to be a giant party. We've got a lot in store for it, and tickets are getting pretty low, which is
nice.
Load off my back.
Shock2020.com.
Shock2020.com. Get those tickets. We actually sold out of general admission for Saturday, so we're going to work on trying to restock in some of those. But, I mean, it's just going to be so much fun. I'll have more details next week because we have some stuff to announce. But please, if you are looking for something fun to do in between Sacramento and you're from San Jose, anywhere in there, it's going to be a lot of fun. Shock2020.com. That's our show. Emma Skies, Katie Plays. My name is Corey Sang. It's just a game.